Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Another lawsuit against the NCAA. You wonder why they tried to get out front this week and act like they knew what they were doing. Steve Berkowitz with this headline in USA Today, NCAA facing new antitrust suit on behalf of athletes seeking pay for play and damages. Always enjoy chatting with somebody that is among the most, if not the most, knowledgeable reporter on the college sports scene. Steve, first of all, great to have you back. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good to be back on, Paul. I appreciate the opportunity and appreciate the kind words, as always.
Well, I know one thing probably didn't have anything to do with the other, or maybe it did, but tell us about this latest lawsuit causing heartburn in Indianapolis.
Sure. This is another lawsuit that's being led by Steve Berman and Jeff Kessler, who were lawyers who were leading the Alston case that ultimately ended up with the Supreme Court ruling unanimously against the NCAA. And it's just sort of another step in this series of lawsuits that they have pursued, going back to Alston and then subsequent to Alston, that are in a variety of different stages in the legal system. And so this time, this is sort of, I believe, would sort of be the last piece of the puzzle in terms of compensation for athletes. That basically they're seeking to knock down all of the NCAA's rules that prohibit athletes from being paid for their services. So essentially, to prevent athletes from being paid, they're challenging the rules that prevent athletes from being paid to play by their schools.
And I heard today there's another one brought on by attorney generals, including the attorney general in, I think it's Josh Stein in North Carolina, that are trying to knock down the ability for players to transfer. I bring all that up because there just seems to be so many things converging upon the NCAA, and then you have Charlie Baker this week, and I'll come back to that in a second. But how do you differentiate what you just mentioned, Steve, with the case that I believe it's out in California that every athletic director and every administrator is in living fear of right now?
Yeah, that's the House Prince case, and that's a case that currently is pending with the with the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals on a sort of procedural but extremely important procedural matter. That's a case that also Berman and Kessler are running that has to do with the rules that had existed around the athlete's ability to make money from their name, image, and likeness. And that case, as they did in the new case, they're seeking both an injunction that would change the rules, but they're also seeking a damages award that would provide money to the athletes based on money that the lawyers contend the athletes would have gotten absent the existence of the rules that kept the athletes from making money on their name, image, and likeness. They also contend that the athletes are entitled to a share of television revenue money because they believe their argument is that the use of the athletes' name, image, and likeness for live television broadcasts is key to the television agreements that bring money to the schools and that the athletes are entitled to that. And in all of these antitrust damages claims, there's a 4-year reach back from the date that the case is filed. So this covers thousands of athletes. And in the case of the one that is in front of the Ninth Circuit right now, it's well over $4 billion because the claim is about 1.2. And if the case goes to trial and the plaintiffs win, those damages awards are tripled. And so right now the Ninth Circuit has been appealed to by the NCAA. They're challenging the ruling by the district court judge that granted class action status to that damages claim. And that's the decision that put $4 billion at stake in the case for the time being.
Yeah, and not to sound like a law professor, but antitrust law is very complicated, but it's also very punitive because of what you said in the case that the damages will be trebled. So Steve, not to make a very complex situation into, you work for USA Today. That used to be the paper we went to back in the day to understand things that we couldn't figure out in other newspapers. Where are these cases going? Obviously, the one that you're talking about today just got filed, but the other one is pretty far down the highway, isn't it?
Yeah, right now it's set for trial in 2025, but there's another case in between that was connected to, again, a damages case that's connected to the so-called Alston Awards, the money that schools were allowed to provide to athletes for certain educational achievement. The same lawyers filed yet another lawsuit that pertains to those damages that they're also seeking to have athletes covered for back 4 years from when that was filed. And so that case is scheduled for 2024. And so the scheduling of things have gotten a little bit out of whack. But, it's within the next year to year and a half is sort of the time horizon for this. Although, keep in mind, the O'Bannon and Alston cases stretched out over, I think, 5 to 7 years. So as long as the NCAA continues to fight these cases, that's the time horizon for the ultimate resolution of them.
Yeah, we here at ESPN, Steve, have an FPI that predicts the outcome of games. I bring that up only to say that if there was an FPI, it wouldn't be good to the NCAA's legal team. They have been scorched a few times here, which brings me to the question: is there any other resolution? With Kessler and his compatriots, what are they really looking for here, and will they settle for anything other than what the compensation from television and other things being shared?
I mean, that's an interesting question, Paul. The NCAA's, modus operandi with a lot of these lawsuits over the past 5 to 10 years has been to settle on monetary issues and fight on matters of principle. So that's why you had the settlement that was connected to the damages part of the Alston case. There ended up being, $200 million, $206 million divided up among athletes. They settled the damages aspect of the O'Bannon case. And the case that was brought alongside of that also had to do with video games. So they've settled quite a few monetary damages claims. They've made a monetary settlement in concussions cases. So, yeah, one way to deal with this is just to try to figure out a number and to figure out what that looks like. The other solution potentially for the NCAA is to try to get Congress to pass a law that would, reach back retroactively and wipe out these cases. Now, that's a pretty complicated circumstance, and I'm not sure that Congress is going to be willing to do that. They might provide some help for them on a going forward basis. Those are the possible off ramps prior to a trial.
Steve, I try not to be too cynical, but I can't help it because we are talking about the NCAA. But we had Charlie Baker this week, whatever he proposed. Everybody's heard it right now ad nauseum. But the one caveat in that, and whenever we talk to administrators, is they are leaning on Congress. And they're not leaning on Congress because they really want to, but they're leaning on Congress for antitrust protection. Is it really all about these lawsuits?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Because every time the concern now with the NCAA is that every time they make a rules change that, sort of attempts to sort of create greater benefits for the athletes, they end up getting sued. And, so that's a concern. Charlie Baker also, expressed concern this week about the prospect of them being sued over having academic standards for athletes to play. I mean, and the transfer case is, again, is an example of them, you know, they're about their legal exposure in so many different places in so many different ways. And what, you know, and what Baker's point is, and the point of a lot of administrators is that it's, you know, really difficult for the NCAA and for the conferences to function if at every time they make a rules change or if they try to have any rules that, you know, put any limits on anything, that they're going to get sued. And, you know, that's a tough way to do business.
Steve, you talk to administrators all over the country. That's part of what you do, and I've alluded to some of it here, but there is a grave, I sense a great concern. Tell us what, aside from all the legal quagmire here, just what do you hear from administrators right now? Because sometimes when you hear Baker talk, you know he's a politician. You know what his end game is. But how serious is this for the future of intercollegiate athletics?
Well, for intercollegiate athletics, yeah, I think they'll be college sports. It's just a question of what it's going to look like and who's going to be running it. You know, the concerns that I've been most in touch with over this past week have been from the people who are outside of the Power Five. And, you know, while the NCAA, while Baker has said in his proposal that he, you know, that this does not involve any change in the NCAA championships setup, that nobody would be excluded from current setup for Division I championships. There are folks outside of the Power Five who are concerned about what this looks like going forward. And, you know, whether or not, not only just with the issue of access to the championships, but also, you know, the incentive of other of teams to continue to play those teams, like whether or not, you know, for example, a few years ago, Stephen F. Austin in men's basketball played Duke. They scheduled the game. Duke was number one at the time at Cameron Indoor Stadium, and Stephen F. Austin won the game. I mean, those types of opportunities are things that folks outside of the Power Five are hoping that they will continue to be able to get, and whether or not, you know, like their actual rules are actually changed, or just whether, you know, whether the rules change in a fashion that looks like makes it even more difficult for them to compete on a practical level is of great concern to the folks who are in the 27 conferences outside of the Power Five, and certainly within the 22 conferences that are outside of FBS.
Incredible stuff. Steve, thank you. It's complicated, but you made it a little bit easier and more palatable for us to understand. Be well. Talk to you very soon.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Wow, what an incredibly interesting, complex, but compelling story Steve told. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back. We head to Columbia, and Cat Daddy is next.
Greetings and salutations. Happy Hanukkah and shalom to everyone. Big Paul.
Shalom.
I've heard a bunch of crazy, crazy conspiracy theories, but here's one that came in today. And I had to say, I got to call Paul and tell him this one. Guy comes in, and he tells me he thinks since the ACC added those teams on the West Coast, that the SEC and the Big Ten were scared that they would be covering the whole nation, so they made sure Florida State didn't get in until Alabama and Michigan played for the championship. You ever heard anything so crazy?
Hey, Cat Daddy. A couple of things. You work at a liquor store, right?
Oh, yeah.
People come in there to buy liquor, right?
Yeah, so normally they ain't drinking it when they get there.
Why are your customers drunk out of their mind before they even buy it?
Well, normally most of them ain't drunk until after they buy it.
Anybody who would come up with that one should be put away.
We got a few that come in a little inebriated, but I ain't the law, so I can't do much about it. But it ain't really supposed to sell
the law.
People. And the law won.
You remember that one, don't you?
The Bobby Fuller Four, I sure do. I was living in Memphis at the time. I was dating my wife when we lived there.
While you were living in Memphis, you know what I was doing?
What was you doing?
I was walking in Memphis.
Walking in Memphis.
10 feet off the ground.
Man, I'm going to tell you what. You bring back some great memories, because I loved Memphis. It was a wonderful, wonderful city. Great people. Oh, now I missed the rendezvous. I want some ribs tonight.
Oh, man. Memphis back in the day, and that was a long day ago.
Oh, John Grisanti had a great restaurant.
John Grisanti, what a great place.
I mean, and there was a place called Topps Barbecue. I enjoyed
that.
That
was a famous place. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes, and I ate my first Crystal hamburger there on Union Avenue in Memphis.
What avenue was that on?
It was on Union Avenue.
Okay. My first job was working at a McDonald's on Summer Avenue.
Oh, I know what I said. Well, my wife worked down there at WMC TV for about 15 years.
Channel 5 on Union Avenue.
Yes, sir. That was back when Mason Granger and Brenda
Mason.
Wood.
I remember Mason. You're taking me back here, Cat Daddy.
Oh, you remember the sports guy, Jack Eaton?
Jack Eaton, one of my heroes.
Man, those were some great times back then, but we move on. Well, I'll let you go.
Really,
I know you got
to. What's that old Ronnie Millsap song? I'm stuck in the 50s tonight.
Yes, sir. Sometimes I feel that way. Randy, y'all rock.
It was a lot easier back then. Even
yes,
though I really
sir,
barely like, touched the 50s.
Yes,
Cat
sir.
Cat Daddy, you tell your compatriots, just chill out.
Stay out of the
hoop. I do every day. Every day. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you. Man, Cat Daddy and I dancing.
Man.
Dancing.
Down memory lane.
Yeah, we were singing those Memphis blues.
Woo.
I don't know about you, but I was stuck inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues again. You ever heard that song?
Yes.
That is an underrated Robert Zimmerman song.
Yeah.
Expired is up next. A lot of people going, well, Robert who?
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Hey there.
Hey, I've been kind of in and out a little bit this week with work. Did that D-bag Daryl ever call in?
No Daryl D sighting.
What about Dr. Bullfrog?
Dr. Bullfrog. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, but Dr. Bullfrog is missing in action.
Wow. I mean, I've talked a lot of trash this year, Paul, and I always call in no matter what. You know, it's just what it is.
A good Feinbaum caller is the ability to show up after your dreams are shattered.
And mine gets shattered every year. But these guys, wow. What two losers, man. That's all I can say. But anyways, I was listening to Matt earlier, Paul, and he sounds like a nice young man that's going through some tough times. And I went and did some research, and I think I diagnosed him, Paul.
Well, Matt sent us into the weekend with an image that none of us really want to think about.
Yes, but I got him diagnosed. You ready? You want to know what it is?
Let's shoot.
He either has gonorrhea or chlamydia. One of the two.
But
I mean, but
expired. I really shouldn't answer this question because it'll sound like I know too much. But wouldn't it be a safe bet that if you go to a doctor, that would be something they would test you for?
Well, I'll let you know. If he did get tested, he would have known.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing they would have. I mean, when you go to a when they don't know what's wrong, they do a couple of blood tests. Usually a blood test and a urine test will solve not every issue, but it gives the doctor a roadmap.
Well, I'm just trying to. He got kidney stones or chlamydia, one of the two. I'm just trying to help him out.
If he had kidney stones, they would have a pretty good idea.
Exactly. I got
all
one
they have
question
to do is do a,
call.
do a picture of that part, and they would, or with the laparoscope, wouldn't they be able to see the kidney stones? Sure, they would.
Yeah, I don't know, Randy.
By the way, my issue isn't that he has an illness. My issue is, what kind of doctor is he going to?
Yeah.
Is it a witch doctor, or is it a urologist?
I think he's going to.
I mean, Matt,
maybe
you
like
just
one.
Can't like walk in a strip mall and say, well, you guys have a doctor in the back?
Hey, Paul.
He goes,
I got
Matt went
to
a cat shop and asked for the doctor.
Yeah.
He went to the vet.
Anyway, had he gone to a vet, he would have been better off.
Yeah, they might have
damn right. He would have got a damn shot of penicillin. His chlamydia would be gone. Hey, really?
Hey,
Paul,
so Matt, the bad news is you got kidney stones. The good news is you don't have distemper.
Have you ever been to the Army-Navy game, Paul?
Yeah. What's that? I'm sorry. I'm so entertained by my own jokes that I didn't hear what you said.
I actually have a good question. Have you ever been to the Army-Navy game?
No. I have been invited, though.
Well, I would love to go one time, and probably something would be
that'd
be
awesome.
We
have a guy that calls us every year, and I finally pushed him off on my boss, and he told my boss, he said that I said that was on my bucket list, and they wanted to bring us up there and do the game, but we didn't do it.
That'd be well. Anyways, that'd be awesome. And anyways, I'm glad I could help Matt out, and I'm glad you're helping Matt out, and Dr. Bulldog and Daryl the D-bag. You guys are losers. Hey, Paul, you have a great
Thanks,
weekend.
Thanks, X-Hard. And by the way, Matt, if you go to a vet, you don't have to wear a collar. Just go in. Isn't there a doctor in? Where does he live? San Antonio. Don't they have physicians there? We will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Coming back. Great to have you here after Kevin is up next. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Great. I enjoyed the show.
Thanks a lot.
I just had my wife to research the members of the CFP. And although I was hoping to find serious Alabama connections, I did not find one single Alabama connection.
Oh, listen, you need to go to page two of the CIA because Big Al is there.
Big Al.
Yeah, he was there in case of a tie.
Yeah, that's hilarious. But anyhow, I was hoping to find some Alabama connection so that I could justify Alabama worming their way into it again. If I was a Florida State fan, I would be really upset that my team got left out, being undefeated and from one of the main conferences, irregardless of all the talking points. Of course, it's a moot point now, or is it? Is there an outside chance that there's some hidden legal language somewhere that would give Florida a chance to worm their way into it through lawsuits?
Well, I think, you know, if you study lawsuits, you can always go judge shopping. The problem is you might get by the first case, but you're not going to get by the next one. So it would be tossed out pretty quickly, and the CFP could easily, you know, slow walk it, where it would be a moot, it would be a moot issue. You have such a small runway. If they'd filed the suit the next morning, but you're talking, if you remember 3 weeks ago when we had the nonsense from Michigan, that only lasted a week, because once you have a hearing, you actually have to put things on the record, and there's just nothing you could put on the record here to substantiate, because Florida State is a member of the ACC, which is a member of the CFP, and once you sign the papers and collect the checks, you pretty much give up your right, unless you have something so distinctive you could have the chairman of the CFP say, you know what, we like Alabama's color better, we think they're a bigger, and you still couldn't get it thrown out. So what
sense.
If there was bias? I mean, there's bias in everything.
There really is. In fact, next year, one of the previous callers said that next year it'll resolve everything. Well, it won't. Team numbers 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 are going to have a legitimate bribe.
But if this, just for example, if Florida State had lost out to, let's say, Washington, do you think there would be the anger?
Probably not.
Because it's Alabama. And the only thing they have against Alabama is they lost a game. That's really what this is about. And I thought Tommy Tuberville made a great point today. He was responding to Rick Scott, the senator from Florida, saying all the things you've heard all week. And he said, "Hey, listen, you're wrong. Number one, he said, Alabama's a better team. I'm a coach. I know the difference. Okay, and unlike you folks. And secondly," he said, "I went through it myself. Everybody remembers 2004, if you were around. And Auburn was undefeated. They won the SEC, and they weren't invited because that's the way it went."
Well, as I said earlier, I was looking for some connection to lay blame for Alabama getting wormed in. But something you said in a show earlier last week, I think it was, that Florida State did themselves in whenever they voted or something to not have the playoff this year. And
well,
if they had voted
Kevin,
to have the playoff this year, they'd have been in.
That was their commissioner. And I have not heard from Commissioner Phillips, but he and two other commissioners voted against the expansion, and had they voted for it, we would not be having this debate, and we would have 12 schools in right now, and they don't really have a lot to. I frankly don't think the case is very compelling at all. And by the way, and then people bring up the Auburn game. The Auburn game does not matter. It doesn't matter how you win a game. You win it, and it's an inexact science. That's what we have here.
Well, if I was going to really argue for another team besides Alabama, I don't know but what I wouldn't argue for Georgia first. Georgia probably had a legitimate claim to it.
Kevin, that's exactly what I think happened. And they knew they had a tiebreaker there because Alabama beat Georgia, so they stuck Georgia number six. None of this matters. I have not heard, and thanks for the call, I have not heard one single new bit of information since Sunday morning, and I think FSU fans just need to get over it. It's sports, isn't it? You have to move on. They have a big game ahead. Who are they playing? Oh, Georgia? Oh, my goodness. Catherine is up next. Hello, Catherine.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Yes, sir. So I just wanted to address kind of Mike Norvell's initial statement about when he said, why play the game? Why play the games? There are so many ways that they still could have been a playoff, I think, with how Saturday played out that week. Am I wrong?
Well, they could have. I mean, we could sit here all day and come up with various scenarios. What if they had won the ACC championship game 28-0? That would have made the committee's chore a lot more difficult. I think the biggest thing going against them was you had 11 hours of television. You had the Big Ten, you had the Big 12 game. Texas was phenomenal. They move ahead. You have the SEC game. Obviously, we know how that went. And then you had the ACC game. The ACC game was a downer. It was depressing to watch. It was dreary. It was a terrible game, and I think that's the last. Meanwhile, on the other channel, you have Michigan winning 28-0, and everybody goes, "Okay, they're number one." It was. I think it was so easy to come up with, and in Florida State, everything that could have happened against them, Murphy's Law did. Louisville losing to Kentucky was really a big blow too. Them barely getting by Florida. Not a good Florida team, a mediocre Florida team. And then their lackluster performance, and ultimately they made it easy for that committee to say, sorry, guys.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You for the call. Really do appreciate it. We have a break. More to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So the famous Heisman race in 1997 will be discussed in a documentary, and we'll talk to the producer and the director coming up here in a minute. Jace is in Augusta. Hello, Jace.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You know, I unlike Daryl, I'll call in and say, you know, I called the Georgia three-peat, and I'll eat my crow, you know.
Hey, by the way, a lot of people did, including me.
Well, you know, another thing is I see where Vandergriff evidently is going to Kentucky.
Right.
And another thing I wanted to point out was, you know, I had a call with your producer here about a month ago with Matt from San Antonio. And we've had some very good conversations offline, and I appreciate all y'all did to hook us up.
Wow.
He's a good kid, and I really appreciate, you know, what y'all did on that end, Paul. I really do. And like I said, go Dogs.
Well, thank you very much, Jace. You be well. I'm glad that worked out. You take care of yourself. Lance is up next. Hello, Lance.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, just wanted to get your thoughts. So Texas took a loss to Oklahoma, and apparently that just didn't seem to hold a lot of weight with the committee, because clearly Georgia should actually be in the playoffs. First of all, I hate that Florida State didn't get in, but Georgia should definitely be in.
It did carry a lot of weight until the final vote, because they got knocked down to number 7.
Yeah, but still, I mean, you had a good win against Alabama.
But in the end, it was negated. You're right. They just finally said, you know what, we're good. It didn't hurt that Texas's last two wins were very dominating.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were dominating. I mean, but once again, you know, a lot of people are talking about how TCU got just smushed last year.
Yeah.
And here's Texas that just barely escaped and got a win against TCU this past year.
So,
you know, who's to say that Georgia's not really the better team, or Florida State's not the better team as far as the committee's concerned?
Listen,
but
I think you're right. I think Alabama and Georgia are the two best teams in the country. Sue me, okay?
Agreed. Okay. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
I really do. And I don't really care how they got to that point, but if you're saying you get to pick two teams, those are my two. And that has that's nothing to do with bias. That has nothing to do with the fact that I work at the SEC Network headquarters here. That is just how I see it with a long history of covering college football. Dwayne is up next.
Hey, Paul, Five Bob. What's happening with you?
Dwayne.
Yeah, what's going on? I'm up here in Seattle on the West Coast.
What are you doing here? I'm out here recruiting them.
I just recruited 2 5-star defensive linemen to bring back to Louisiana.
Okay.
It's going to be a shocking news.
You guys can use some 5-stars.
Yeah, I got 2 5-stars I'm bringing back. I'm out here on the West Coast up in Seattle area.
We've heard that.
It's raining up here. Pouring down rain.
It always rains in Seattle.
Yeah. They got me out here. You know what I'm saying? Then I'm going down to California and pick up about 3 defensive backs. You hear me?
Yeah, Dwayne, we're just letting you talk. We don't want to interrupt a good call.
You don't want to interrupt me, Paul Feinbaum. Paul Feinbaum, we got another Heisman Trophy in Baton Rouge. Heisman Trophy winner in Baton Rouge. You know that, huh?
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah, you know that.
Unlike the last Heisman Trophy.
You put your vote in. You voted for the man.
Hey, Dwayne, the last Heisman
you
Trophy
voted for
brought you a natty. Hey, thanks for the call. Apparently he's busy recruiting, isn't he? We'll let him get back, because obviously they're going to need some recruiting next year. Eddie is in Florida. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, Paul. First-time caller. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
I just want to ask you a quick question. I'm a former Florida State student and a fan. I'm watching your show, and I'm listening to you and another caller speak a moment ago, and something was said about the Alabama and Auburn game, and it was close. And your response right away to that was, well, it doesn't matter if it was close. It doesn't matter because they won. So if that's the justification, and you know, Alabama had some other close games too, and I'm not necessarily knocking Bama. The committee made the choice. But if Alabama's allowed to get that justification, well, it doesn't matter. They won. Why is it that FSU found a way to win with its second string quarterback against the Gators, and we won? And we found a way to play Louisville with our third string quarterback, and we wouldn't be using him in the bowl game. But we found a way to win. So if it's okay for Bama, it doesn't matter. They found a way to win. Why is it when Florida State does that, it doesn't matter? We found a way to win. We beat Louisville, who averaged over 400 yards, and we shut them down.
Eddie, thanks for the call. Why do you think that is the case?
No, I'm asking you. I think that's the big question everybody's asking. Why is it okay one way, but the narrative's different for Alabama?
Eddie,
and that's a reasonable question.
Eddie, your friends in Tallahassee need to understand one very important distinction. And do you know what that is?
Can you? I want to hear your answer, but I also would like you to answer mine. What is the difference in narratives? What's the difference in narratives?
Eddie, you have to take a breath for a second, okay?
I'm taking a breath. I just want to hear your answer to my question. That's why I called. Why the difference in narratives?
Listen, I am not that intelligent, but I'm intelligent enough to remember your question, so I'll try to answer it if I get that opportunity.
Okay.
First of all, I am a talk show host. I am not a member of that committee. What I say here, what I've said, doesn't make one bit of difference. Capiche? Eddie, you still there?
Oh, I'm still here. I was letting you answer, Paul. Sorry.
No, I'm done.
I just
put a full stop at the end of it.
Oh, okay. What's the reasoning then for?
Well, there doesn't have to be a reasoning. I was just simply trying to explain that I can say anything I want, but I didn't vote in Grapevine, Texas. I'm just a blabbermouth. I'm just a talking head. I don't carry any weight.
I understand that, and we all watch this, and we're wrapped up into what's going on, and that's why, you know, I'm watching your program and other programs. I listen to everybody because I like
being sworn
informed.
Am I under oath now in Tallahassee? Do I have to say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.